Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia through the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today will be part one of what will in all likelihood just be a short two-part series, where we're going to be talking about the topic of prayer. More specifically, are you finding yourself losing your passion for prayer? Yeah, it happens, doesn't it? And as Christians, boy, that can start to make us feel guilty, ashamed before God and before our brothers and sisters in Christ, especially those brothers and sisters in Christ who we see have a great passion for prayer, right? Well, why is it that at times our passion for prayer can decrease? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about. This teaching today, part one, and then our next teaching in part two. The topic's going to be prayer. And I think, again, I'm not sure this is such a hot topic where there are some, you know, all kinds of controversy and so forth regarding it. No, I think it's just a very, very relevant, thus hot topic for all of us as Christians, because we want our passion for the Lord as we study his word and as we pray to him and praise him. We want that passion to be ever increasing, right? And so today what we're going to do, well, actually today and next time, we're going to take a look. We're going to answer some questions when it comes to prayer. And you might want to write this down. Question number one, why? Why should we pray? Especially because as Christians, we know that God is sovereign, God is all-knowing, and he actually knows what we need even before we ask him in prayer. So why should we pray? That's going to be our first question we're going to deal with today. Second question, how? How should we pray to keep that passion ignited, to keep our focus in as we pray, so that our minds don't get distracted? So why should we pray? How should we pray? And then our third question, which we'll in all likelihood we'll deal with next time, what? What are some of the benefits to us as believers when we pray? Starting to get an idea of where we're going to be going? Well, let's take a look at question number one. Why? Why should we pray? Again, if God knows everything, which he does, in advance, which he does, then why pray? Well, the simple answer is this. Ready? Because we are commanded to. Go to Colossians chapter 4. Christian, prayer is not a suggestion that God says, hey, if you feel like praying. No, prayer is a command for us. And we see that here in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. The Apostle Paul, in the power of the Holy Spirit, was writing to Christians there in the church in Colossae. And he says to them in verse 2, devote yourselves to what? Prayer. Keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Okay, Andrew, he says devote yourself. That doesn't sound like a command. Well, how about I teach you the Greek? In the Greek, devote yourself. Proskartereo. proskartereo. It literally means continue steadfastly in prayer. Persevere passionately in prayer. Be constantly diligent in prayer. Be unwavering in your commitment to prayer. Proskartereo. And by the way, the construction in the grammar of that word in the Greek, it's in the present tense, meaning that you are to constantly, consistently be praying. So it's in the present tense and it's in an imperative. It's a command, not a suggestion. It is a command that we as Christians are to constantly, consistently be devoted to prayer. To be steadfast, diligent, unwavering in our commitment to prayer. I think you get the point, right? But let me show you, just to maybe emphasize this point a little more, let me show you the example of our Lord Jesus Christ and his diligence and unwavering commitment to consistent prayer. Go to Mark chapter 1. Look at verse 35. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, we read about Jesus. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place. And what was he doing there? He was praying. He was communing with his Father. While here on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect God-man, was constantly communing with the Father, was constantly engaged in prayer. Now, let me ask you a question. If Jesus thought prayer was that important, you know, Jesus, the perfect God-man, if Jesus thought prayer was that important, intimate fellowship with the Father was that important, shouldn't we? In fact, let me just give you the context here. The day before, Jesus was engaged in major, major ministry. Crowds were coming to him. He was teaching them. He was healing them. The people just kept coming. In fact, it was the day before was a Sabbath. So our Lord preaches in the synagogue. Our Lord then comes to Peter and Andrew's house, heals their mother who is sick. Sabbath day, right? Spends the rest of the Sabbath day, obeying, you know, following obviously the Sabbath regulations. Sunset, Sabbath ends, massive crowd from everywhere shows up at the door of Peter and Andrew looking for Jesus to heal their friends and family members of all kinds of diseases, including demon possession. Well, our Lord graciously and mercifully cared for the crowd and healed those people. Boy, he was up late and he knew that the next day the crowd was going to show up again. Boy, if anybody could have, you know, come up with the excuse to say, hey, I need to sleep in a little longer, could have been our Lord, right? Again, in his human nature, he got tired just like we do as humans. Now, certainly his human nature was perfect, right? Okay. He didn't have the afflictions and weaknesses that we have because of our sin nature. But nevertheless, in his human nature, he experienced hunger. He experienced, you know, being tired. So our Lord in his human nature, no doubt would have been very tired from that day before and all the ministry he had been doing. And he knew, well, the people are going to be showing up at sunrise the next morning. And yet, look what we read here. Verse 35. In the early morning, while it was still dark. Nah, Jesus didn't hit the snooze button when his alarm went off, right? No, he got up. He left the house. And he went away to a secluded place. And was communing with the Father in prayer. Why should we as Christians pray? Well, number one, we know it's a command. But also look at our Lord's example. And as Christians, don't we want to follow his example? But also just hop over to Matthew chapter 6. It's interesting, our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, he was teaching his disciples about prayer. And look what he says to them in verse 5, when you pray. Notice he didn't say if you pray or if you feel like praying or once a week if you decide to pray. No, he said when you pray. Says it again down in verse 7, and when you are praying. So not only do we see in Scripture that prayer is a command for us as Christians, that we are to be constantly engaged in prayer. Look at our Lord's example of how he constantly prayed, and look at our Lord's expectation for us as believers. When you pray, when you are praying, no excuse for us, Christian. Busyness, not an excuse to not pray. In fact, Martin Luther famously said, man, I have so much on my plate today that I'm going to actually spend much more time in prayer today. Has that been your attitude over this past week, Christian? Or has it been, man, I have so much on my plate today, I have no time to pray. Ugh. So why do we pray? It's a command. We see the example of our Lord, and we also see the expectation of our Lord. Let's go to the second question. How should we pray? Well, let's just stay right here in Matthew chapter 6. Verse 9, our Lord said to his disciples, pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your name be treated as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. You know this prayer, right? You've probably prayed it many times. Commonly referred to as the Our Father, right? Now, it also is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer, but be careful with that because our Lord could never have prayed these words. Why do you say that, Andrew? Well, look in the prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples. Verse 12, they were to pray, forgive us our what? Debts, sins. Could Jesus have ever prayed that? No. No. So this is our Lord's teaching on prayer, giving kind of like a model prayer to his disciples back then and for us today. No, our Lord's prayer, you can read it on your own, is John chapter 17. You see our Lord communing with the Father And one of the things he said was, Father, I've completed my mission here on earth. Restore me back to the glory that I had with you before anything ever was. Well, no human could pray that prayer, right? None of us could. Okay. But the perfect God man could. The one, God the Son, who left his throne 2,000 years ago to come save sinners like you and me, Christian. Only he could pray that prayer in John 17. Father, restore me back to the glory that I enjoyed with you before anything ever was. Do you see it? So this is our Lord giving an example, a model of how his disciples should pray. Now, before we get into the prayer, Jesus shows his disciples how not to pray. Verses 5 and 6, Jesus says to them, when you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, hypocrites, play actors. In this context, he's referring to the religious leaders who use their religiosity as a way to get the attention and applause from the crowd. Jesus said to his disciples, no. When you pray, Jesus expects us to pray. He says, don't pray like them. Don't pray. Don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners. Why? Well, their motive for prayer, to commune with God? No. So that they may be seen and applauded by men. Jesus said, if that's their only reason for prayer, Jesus says, truly I say to you, that's the max reward they get, the applause of man. They're not going to get the approval from God. They're hypocrites. Jesus says, okay, verse 6, but when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, this is not Jesus saying literally that the only place we as Christians can pray are in our little closet in the house. No. What Jesus is saying is, when you pray, make sure you are focused only on the Lord. Don't let yourself get distracted, and certainly don't act like these hypocrites and start opening your eyes and going, I wonder who's watching me to see how holy and religious I am. Jesus, no. Act as though you're by yourself in some little room and it's just you and your Heavenly Father. That is how we should pray. Again, this is not a prohibition against congregational praying. Every Lord's Day, we all pray in the congregation. I lead a pastoral prayer. We have a time of silent prayer for everybody in the congregation where they're praying. Of course, we want to be engaged in congregational prayer, but we don't want to be engaged in opening our eyes and looking around and seeing how impressed everybody is with our piety. That's what the hypocrites do. So Jesus says, let me tell you how not to pray first. Don't be like those applause seekers, the religious leaders back then when you pray. Make sense? And then verses 7 and 8, Jesus says, you also don't want to pray like the babbling pagans. He says, when you're praying, don't use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles, the pagans do. Well, why do they use mindless and meaningless repetition? Why are they so verboise in their prayers? Answer, for they actually suppose that they will be heard for their many words. I mean, come on. Jesus says, don't be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask. You see, the pagans thought that they could somehow move their pagan deities to action if they just started babbling, mindless, meaningless words. They figured the amount of words that they could put out to their pagan deity, that would move that pagan god or goddess to help them out. I mean, that's just stupidity. But unfortunately, as a pastor, I've heard that type of praying amongst well-meaning Christians for far too many years. An example, kind of mindless babbling. Dear Lord, I thank you. Oh, Lord, you are so great and awesome. Lord, thank you so much. You are wonderful, Lord. Heavenly Father, Father, you are great. Father, this. It's almost like they're saying Lord or Father, you know, kind of as like the way we say the word and or but, just constantly saying it, right? It reminds me, gosh, I'm going to age myself. Do you remember like, well, a lot of you may not remember back in like in the 80s, I think it was the 80s, the rise of what was called the Valley Girls in California that were always like, you know, saying, you know, the words like every other word was like, you know, hey, how's your day? Well, like, wonderful day, like, you know, just like, I guess that was Valley talk, right? If any of you are from California, hopefully I'm not offending you. I just, that's the way it was, right? Back then. Man, you don't want to do that in prayer where you're using the holy name of God, you know, Lord, Father, all that. You want to be careful with that. We don't want to be mindless and meaningless with our words. That's the point Jesus is making here. Another example. Oh, this one really bothers me. Oh, here's that one. This one. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love, your grace. Thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. I am so grateful, Father, that you atoned for my sins on that cross. What's the problem with that prayer? God the Father was not on the cross being punished for our sins. God the Son was. Please, 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 Christian, don't be so mindless and so meaningless with your words that you start to confuse the members of the Trinity. Don't do that. So Jesus says to his disciples, don't be like the religious hypocrites. They're play actors in prayer. They're just seeking the applause of others. Jesus says, act as though you're in a little room and there's no one there who can see you, except God the Father. Focus on him. Also, Jesus said, don't be like the pagans, those who just use mindless, meaningless, babbling words, thinking they're somehow going to be heard by their pagan deities. Jesus says, no, that's not the way it should be with you. Use your mind and think about the word you are saying to your holy triune God, right? And then Jesus says, let me tell you how to pray. Verse 9, pray then in this way. And by the way, it's not like we have to repeat these words. In fact, we're not supposed to repeat them in a mindless, meaningless way, which is a way many of us, myself included, growing up, that's how we did it. Jesus just said, don't be mindless and meaningless. So when he gives this model prayer, it's a model. We don't have to say the exact words, but it's a good model to follow. In fact, here's the model. First, when we pray, we are to focus our prayers on God, who he is. He's our Father who's in heaven. He's our loving Father. He's in heaven, ruling and reigning over all, including over all the concerns we have. So when we start out in prayer, we want to focus on him, who he is and how he is. Not yet focus on ourselves and our needs. We'll get there. Jesus says, this is how you should pray. Our Father who's in heaven. Now notice the pronouns. Hallowed be your name. In other words, God, may your name be treated as holy in and through my life, in and through my family, in and through this world. It's about your name. Your kingdom come. It's about your kingdom rule and reign spreading. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you notice the pronouns? Jesus says, this is how you should pray. First, your focus is on God, who he is and how he is. He is your loving heavenly Father. And you want to pray, Lord, may your name be treated as holy. May your kingdom rule and reign come. May your perfect, pleasing will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Do you see the focus? It's first on him. Well, what about us? Well, now the change of pronouns. Verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I am trusting you with my daily physical needs. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Lord, I am trusting you with my daily spiritual needs. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lord, I'm trusting you with my moral needs. Do you see how we are to pray according to Jesus? First, our focus is upward. Our Heavenly Father, your name be treated as holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Then we go to our needs. Lord, my daily physical needs. Lord, my daily spiritual needs. Lord, my daily spiritual needs or moral needs. Do you see it? And next time, I'll dig a little bit deeper into this prayer to help you really, really understand it and hopefully gain a passion in your prayer. But as I conclude now, we learn today why we should pray. It's a clear command. Number two, we learn how we should pray. We first focus on the Lord, who he is and how he is. Then we present our daily needs to him, right? Think of Jesus, his example of prayer. Think of Jesus, his expectation that we are to pray. Christian, here's your homework assignment. Now that you know why we need to pray, and now that you know how Jesus taught his disciples in a model prayer how to pray, I want you to practice that over this next week. And then I'll see you next time as we go a little bit deeper into this prayer. And then we talk about what are some of the benefits for us as we pray. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the host and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.